This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
I'm Dana Perino, and this is Perino on Politics. It's the economy, stupid. Welcome to Perino on Politics, where we give you everything you need to know from a 30,000-foot view of this week in politics. So joining me today is my friend, my colleague, Brian Brenberg. You can watch him on The Big Money Show weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on the Fox Business Network. And you can also see him on America's Newsroom about once a week, which I love.
A ton of fun. I love doing that. These guys are great to hang with, so thank you for this.
So, Brian, so everybody listening, this might be you might find this to be a little bit of a different politics podcast because I want to talk about the economy, and especially today is tax day. If you're listening in the future, today we are recording on April 15th, tax day. Although I got to tell you, with taxes and regulations, it feels like every day is tax day. It's a lot. But let's start with maybe for people who aren't familiar with you, a little bit about where you grew up and how you ended up on The Big Money Show.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I grew up in Minnesota. And I got to this world in a very roundabout way. I started out, kind of went to college, studied finance and worked in finance, but had this interest in politics and policy and how those worlds intersected, really thanks to a mentor, actually, who I got to know in college and said, you should care about this stuff. And so I did. And that kind of led me into the think tank world and eventually to grad school, where I put those two things together, business and policy. And after that, I found my way into teaching. That was kind of the area where I thought I could make a difference. I could I understood both of these things to some degree. I could talk about them. I could help young people get it. So I pay a lot of attention to where young people are today and how they're feeling about the economy. But it was when I was a teacher that I started writing and speaking on some of these issues, and that eventually led me to The Big Money Show. So it's not a path that I ever looked forward to and said, that's what I want to do. Right. I'm sort of more surprised than anybody that I'm here coming from rural Minnesota. But I love this job, and I get to intersect people who, when I was learning in college, were my heroes. Mm-hmm. I mean, like the Larry Kudlows of the world. I used to watch him every night. You know, it's part of how I kind of cut my teeth. So it's just awesome to be doing this now and participating in that.
Well, I'm thrilled to know you. You are Minnesota nice, which is also another thing that we like here on this podcast. So in the first segment of this podcast, I just want to get your sense of what is the state of the economy right now? And especially with that inflation number that came out last week, what is that doing to actual people? For setting aside politics, like what is the effect on people?
Well, that's a good question, and I would say the sense I get in our own life as a family, but also for those who are close to me and all throughout the country, it is bewildering to people to walk into a store, or even now, more importantly, I think, to get your home insurance quote or your car insurance premium, and to say to yourself, what happened to these prices? I do not understand this. And the reason it's bewildering is because people have to make all of this fit within a budget. Like they're not like the government where you can put it on a card that never has to be paid, it seems. They're trying to figure out how to fit all of these things into a budget that's not growing as quickly as all those prices that they're seeing. And so you have to make weird trade-offs. You have to not buy things that you have bought for years and years and years. You have to consume things in a way that you haven't consumed them before. Like you have to say, we're not going to eat that this week. Mm-hmm. We're not going to eat this as much.
And that doesn't make people feel good.
At the most basic level, it doesn't. And it's just sort of disorienting. And you ask yourself, is this the way it has to be? Like, has somehow the world changed such that I can't eat pot roast once every 2 weeks anymore? It's a once a month thing.
it is, you know, even for somebody like me, I don't have children, and the inflation with somebody with a higher income, right? A lot of excuses for us to be like, well, it doesn't matter, right?
Right.
Well, I start even to notice it too. Mm. Like at restaurants with steaks over $55.
Yeah.
I was like, what? I'm like, I made a choice the other day based on a price.
Oh, really?
Right. I was like, I'm not paying that for that. I'm not doing that. And so I think about people who, Harold Ford Jr. saw this woman in a supermarket. This is a while ago, but it was within the window of the last 2.5 years when inflation has gone up. And he said she was wearing scrubs, this young woman. So scrubs meaning she works somewhere in healthcare. Mm-hmm. She's at the grocery store and she has several types of groceries, staples. And then she had ingredients to make Rice Krispie treats. She gets the checkout, and as things are going through, he said that you could see her calculating ahead of where the checker was checking things out, and she quietly took those Rice Krispie treat ingredients out.
Mm.
And I imagine she's not making them for herself, right? That was for a kid.
Yeah.
And that has an effect on people's psyche.
You know what it does? That's exactly right, and it has an effect in terms of, you know, we're fueled by this sense of like, I can see a path to make my life better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what drives us. And when in the moment you feel like you're going backward.
And you're working as hard as you ever have.
Which is what you do. When you're putting Rice Krispie treat ingredients back, you feel like you're going backward. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes very hard to feel good about the path forward. And that's where you lose that. You call it confidence, consumer confidence, but you lose, economists call it animal spirits. You know, this idea that I'm going to make it, I'm going to strive, and things are going to get better. You start to lose that, and you go into this sort of defensive crouch. Like, how do I keep the walls from closing in? And you don't want to be there as a society, especially one like ours, where those animal spirits of capitalism have driven so much good here and in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You lose those. You lose more than just, you know, the bottom line or financial performance or this given metric. You lose, I put it this way, like, you lose some of the swagger that makes America great.
And wages have not kept up with inflation.
Right.
President Biden and his team have for many months said, things are better than you think they are or than you feel they are. Have they started to realize that messaging is not working?
I'm not the politics expert, but I can tell you that's not a winning way to communicate. Even in your own personal relationships, you know it's not good to say to that person. It's a lot, you know, how you're feeling is really not representative of how things are.
Don't anyone dare tell me that, right?
So, that to me is a grasping for straw message. But what it comes back to is the choice the Biden administration has made about this economy. And you kind of had a choice early on. Inflation was starting to run out of control, and you could aim at that and say, we're going to fix that. Or you could say, but we've got all these ways we want to reinvent how people live and how they work and how they consume and what they do, and we can aim at that. And early on, they made the decision to aim at the reinvention thing, the you know, the EVs, the green spending. And when you do that, you by default say, we're going to hope inflation gets better, but we're not going to aim at it. And I think all the messaging that's come out since then has been a result of that choice.
Mm.
What you aim at, and then how you try to message the other thing. And what they found is people don't buy how they're messaging
the other thing. Is there anything that President Biden can do right now? Is there anything in his power, his power, not the Fed's power, his power that he can do between now and Election Day that would bring down inflation?
I'm glad you put it that way, because the Fed has been doing things and he's been leaning on them pretty hard. I would say the only way you can fix inflation is you open up the floodgates of production and you clamp down on the floodgates of spending. And if you do both of those things, you can bring prices down. In terms of production, that's where you talk about regulation. You know, how many hoops does a business have to jump through before they produce and hire? And we all know that they've ramped up regulation a lot in this economy, especially in industries like auto manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, by the way, I think where a lot of people feel the problem too. You know, like, I want to buy a new car. Mm-hmm. But I can't afford that.
Same is true with appliances.
I want to buy a new appliance.
And this week, the Hill was going, the Republicans were going to have appliance week, and they were going to have legislation proposed and appliance debate week. On the floor about, and look, I get it. When the dishwasher takes 3 hours, like, it's annoying. So they wanted to try to get ahead of some of these regulations that are coming. I do feel like people do feel suffocated by the regulations.
Yes.
And I don't know if they draw a direct line from the regulations to the increase in prices for new vehicles, for example, or car insurance, housing insurance, housing repair, car repair. Everything is more expensive, so it adds up. And I just don't know if there's anything they can do, and I guess not. But the other thing is, and you can take a pass on this if you want to, but are the Republicans or President Trump talking about any sort of policy change that they would make that would affect inflation? And I don't see them talking a lot about reducing spending.
Yeah, this is where I'm a skeptic.
Me too.
Because there's no track record there.
Nope.
There's on spending, there's no track record. Now, there is a track record on unleashing some of the growth potential.
Production and regulations.
And that's one way to get out of it. And I will say, I do think, I don't have a lot of confidence in the spending side. One advantage I think former President Trump has, right or wrong, and I think this is very powerful, is he can point back to something he did and say, I did that and I can do it again.
Right.
And
polls show that people believe.
Yes.
And they remember the economy being better under Trump. And the New York Times poll over the weekend, yet once again, it's saying this. And it's driving the liberals crazy that that's the case. But it is what people remember. And I think that a lot of them want to say, but look what happened during COVID. But in a lot of ways, you know what an appositive is in a sentence? It's like it's a word or a phrase that's surrounded by two commas in a sentence that if you pull it out,
right,
the sentence still hangs together. I feel like COVID times, that's the way that people think about President Trump's presidency. They don't blame him for it. They don't blame Biden for it, really. Mm. They blame the Chinese for it.
Yeah.
And they don't like what happened. They might blame the government for being too heavy-handed. They might bring the so-called experts that close schools, but they're not blaming Trump himself. So
right.
You take that out and people are like, the economy was so much better.
I never would have thought of the example of an A-positive, but I love that example. And I do think, you know, to put a political hat on for a second, the difference between 2022 and 2024 to me is that you have that track record on the ballot this time.
Mm-hmm.
It was not the economy stupid in 2022.
No.
But you also didn't have the track record that people believe on the ballot. And so what are you really investing your hopes in if not that track record? Now you do.
And my last question on this before we go to a break and then come back and talk about taxes is you have seen consistently also in the polls that Hispanics and Blacks are starting to pull away from Biden, looking to Trump. And the main issue is because of the economy. For example, energy jobs, and especially Black men and Hispanic men saying, I guess in their minds are saying, like, my job situation, my ability to even start a family, take care of my family, and to feel like I don't have to work three jobs just to make ends meet was better under Trump.
The desire for mobility in life, moving from one part of life to another, is much, much, much stronger than I think a lot of people give it credit for. And there are a lot of folks, just given their station in life in the Hispanic and Black community, who have that desire. And they, again, you go back to the previous point about, do I think I can make my life better or not? Am I crouching or am I gaining?
Right.
They want to gain.
Right.
And this does not feel like an economy in which that happens.
And that's for younger people or for people who are brown Americans, Black Americans. I also think about senior citizens. So if they have a lot more money than other generations have in the past, right? But if you're on a fixed income and all of a sudden the steak that you used to be able to get for $35 is now $55 at the restaurant, that doesn't feel good either.
When you're living life within a couple of boundaries that you can't move, and all of a sudden the road starts to shift under you, you get really nervous. And I think that's what's happened to, older Americans. And also, by the way, they want to leave something to the next generation. Yeah. Like, they want to help them get better, and they feel like my chances of doing that are eroded every time prices
go up. So it's no wonder, as we talk, that people feel pretty down on
the
economy.
Yeah.
It is. All right, we'll have more Perino on Politics with Brian Brenberg coming right up.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
And we're back with Purina on Politics. Brian, it is tax day, and I feel like tax day used to be a bigger deal. Sometimes politicians make it a bigger deal, but yeah. I worked for a congressman and then a president who made taxes a really big part of mm-hmm. their world and spending, right? A balanced budget amendment proposal, tax cuts yeah. for everyone, including the wealthy, including corporations, like tax cuts drive productivity and growth. Where do you think people are thinking? What do you think people are thinking about tax cuts or taxes right now?
Well, we know the polling shows they think taxes are too high. That's mm-hmm. probably true all time. You know,
right.
nobody
it's always
likes
too
to
high,
pay
right?
taxes. I think the reason you're not hearing about it as much now is because you have a party in power that, if you know, on paper they actually want to raise taxes. That's not always the winningest message, I don't think. We're going to make life more expensive for you when it's already expensive.
Well, now, yeah, and especially now the Biden team is saying we want to raise taxes on the wealthy and on corporations.
Yes.
What happens to an economy just practically when you do that?
Yeah, well, you should always ask yourself, how does a tax change an incentive for somebody to put money to work, to invest it? And that's the answer you get, whether it's the wealthy or corporations. Corporations are just entities of other people's money trying to figure out how to use it, right? And if the penalties for using money are low, they will use the money. And they'll not use it probably to buy back their own stock, but they'll use it to try something new, to build something new, because the money they could make on it is higher when their taxes are lower. Mm-hmm. That's job creation. You know, that's wealth creation for retirees and investors. There's a desire, I think, sometimes to want to split up in the economy into all these little chunks, like this sliver of people and this sliver of people and corporations. And really, the economy is so much more organic than that. A good, healthy economy works together in ways you can't possibly trace because it's so complex. But that's mm-hmm. the secret of the American economy. The worst economies in the world are the ones where there's big barriers between mm-hmm. different classes or different kinds of companies, and you never get anywhere, right? Nobody's cooperating and working together. So I kind of wish, actually, just from a vision perspective, you'd get more politicians saying, talking more about the whole thing working together versus pitting mm-hmm. classes against right. people or types of organizations against people. But you know, that works in politics, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's why we get it.
Well, it doesn't work. Yeah, but unfortunately, you're right. Like, it doesn't work for people. So President Trump passed tax cuts. Remember, he wanted to call it the cut bill.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what it ended up being called.
Simplicity in yeah. messaging.
You know what? He might not have been wrong. But the Trump tax cuts are due to expire the end of next year of 2025. There was a movement afoot on Capitol Hill in the last 3 months to try to get ahead of this mm-hmm. and to have a bipartisan legislation that would probably extend the Trump tax cuts.
Yeah.
That has fallen apart.
Yeah.
And I imagine that Biden's going to want to start talking about taxes pretty soon, but I don't think it's like with Obama. Obama didn't end the Bush tax cuts. He extended them and his left wing was furious,
yeah.
but it was the right thing to do economically. What do you think could happen here?
Well, I think a similar dynamic's going to happen probably next year too, because raising taxes on the wealthy is a good campaign point to make, I guess, if you're trying to solidify your base on the left, but it's not a great thing to have to do in real time when the tax breaks people enjoy are about to go away, right? Mm-hmm. So it seems to me like politicians want to extend the messaging lifetime of the tax debate as long as they can and cram the actual decision-making into a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. I can't see next year, come the end of next year, I can't see, except for the hard left, I can't see people who hold office saying, we are now going to raise your taxes across
well,
the board.
Well, I mean, I guess I would put Senator Elizabeth Warren as far left.
Yeah.
And a lot of her staffers now work for President Biden in the mm-hmm. administration. And I think one of the reasons that the administration has moved left is not just because yeah. President Biden is saying, oh, I really want to help those people on my left. It's because that's where the policy is coming from.
Yeah. They are helping to run the show.
Yeah.
It's a big show. I mean, you know this better than mm-hmm. I do. Who you have around you running it makes a big difference. Yeah, that's what set in motion a lot of things that are happening. And mm-hmm. so maybe you're right. Maybe the ball is in motion to change, to, you know, to want to raise taxes.
I think President Trump should start talking about it. You know, tax cuts for everyone. Except for that we do have an issue of having the need to fund the government. And one of the things that's a yeah. big problem right now are mandatory pay-fors. What does that mean? So that basically means that in the federal budget, there's a pot of money.
Yeah.
And let's just say take all the money, all the revenue, and then X amount has to be set aside for mandatory programs. Mm. What are those mandatory programs? Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid.
Right.
And the costs of those are going up. Mm. They're not immune to the price increases that
right.
are going on. So those prices are going up. People are living longer. People are not working as long as they probably should. Mm. So are we going to reach a point where we need to raise taxes?
Raising taxes is one way you
spending,
deal with
right.
that. Or the other way is restructuring those programs for people who are not yet enjoying and relying
yeah.
on the benefits.
I have always believed that when the Social Security problem gets solved, it will look exactly like the President Bush proposal of 2004 mm. on where you would take a young person and say, would you like to give a portion of your Social Security
right.
money? Would you like to be able to control yeah. that yourself and put that into the stock market? I would love for somebody to do the calculation that if that had gone into, that was 2005. So if that had gone into law in 2006 and some young person had said, I'll take you up on that.
Mm.
And they did the minimum amount that they could put into the stock market, how much they'd have to
yeah.
pay.
It's a good point. And actually to add to that, there has been such a surge among younger generations now in interest in investments.
Yes.
And that wasn't as true in 2005 as it
no,
is today.
No, absolutely not. There's young people now of like 11, 12, 13 years old saying that they want money for their birthday mm. in order to invest mm. it. They don't want a thing. They want to invest. I love it.
Now, there's a lot of education that has to happen there. And
yeah.
a lot of that education is learning the hard way. But my point is, to your point, I think there's more appetite for that. Control my own destiny. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't explain a thing like Bitcoin without understanding the fundamental rising desire to control more of your own destiny, to detach mm. it from institutions you think mm-hmm. have failed. And I do think that creates an opening, actually, to solve some of these big problems, because you could get a brilliant, you know, statesman or stateswoman to say, I want to put more of your future in your hands, actually, and take
mm-hmm.
it out of mine,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, will we ever hear that? I don't know. But if you did, it would be massively empowering to people.
Do you follow the Argentinian experiment with Milei?
Yes. I mean, I am. I don't know that I'm following it daily.
I'm not
deeply.
Either. But Ben Shapiro, who of course has his amazing podcast,
yeah.
he interviewed Milei. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but I can't wait to listen to that, because that was a pretty incredible turnaround there. They're trying in Argentina. I know I'm getting a little farther afield. I didn't plan on bringing it up.
No.
But he's been on my mind, partly also because he broke up with his girlfriend.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes.
Now, I'm definitely not on that story.
His girlfriend is an actress in Argentina, and apparently they've decided to break up out of friendship.
Oh.
So I don't know. Something happened. There's drama in Argentina.
I don't know
but
that
he's,
one.
But he's dealing with a lot of things where it's difficult to turn an economy around, but apparently he's a great economist to listen to. Like, his videos are great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he combines charisma with a very winsome challenge to people.
Mm-hmm.
That is to say, if you want what you say you want, you have to own it. And I am here to give it to, I'm here to give ownership to you, the things you say you want. And you get the mm-hmm. risk, you get the benefit. But he does it with a, like a charisma, a passion.
Yeah.
That I think inspires especially young people.
Exactly. Like, I loved my economics class in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell that if I had taken your class in college, like, that would, like,
I wouldn't be on this podcast.
I would just love, I love to learn. And if you have a good history teacher,
yeah.
economics teacher, it makes such a big difference. So I'm glad that you were willing to teach and to teach us as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's taxes, tax day. But watch this Trump tax cut debate that is to come, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to Pareena on Politics. Brian, the last question I always ask before the quick pop quiz at the end.
Okay.
I like to ask, what am I missing? So
okay.
from your expertise, there might be things that you're paying attention to right now in the economy, and whether it applies to the election or not doesn't matter. What should I be paying attention to?
All right. So I'll give you, you pay attention to everything. So there's no way.
Not necessarily. Sometimes I'm surprised.
I'll give you two negatives to watch for the election and one positive to watch. The negatives are, start with the year 2012, because last week we got two pieces of data that relate to that year. One was small business confidence is at its lowest level since 2012. That's a hiring question.
Mm-hmm. It was also when President Obama had been in office for 4 years.
It's true. That's right.
See, you can remember, he didn't like small business.
He did not. He did not like that. The other one is credit card delinquencies are at their highest level since 2012. That's a spending issue. What are two things propping up the economy? The hiring we've seen and the spending we've seen. Watch those this year.
Okay.
Here's the good news. This is longer term, harder to quantify, but I'm an education guy. Mm-hmm. I've taught at the collegiate level. I love teaching at college. But I think that there is no industry, maybe aside from healthcare, that needs more disruption than education. And at the post-secondary level, the number one thing that can happen is more people going into more skilled trades and vocational training. Mm-hmm. And the awesome news is that's happening now in a way it hasn't happened in generations.
Yes.
I love it. I especially love it. I love it for everybody, but I love it for young men especially because they, in some ways, seem the most lost vocationally in the world that we live in. And this is an awesome opportunity for
them. So we had Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs on the show last week. Not this show, but on America's Newsroom. And he has right now open for scholarship application, the Mike Rowe Works scholarship. You have to do a video, et cetera. What I think is interesting is that I want to make sure it's clear that if you were to go for a trade school, right, and learn a trade, welding, also could be chip manufacturing, right?
Could be.
There's a lot of chip manufacturing going on, and that actually, it takes a skill, a skilled trade.
Oh, huge.
And there's billions of dollars that are being invested in America right now, all across the country, including upstate New York, that just got a $12 billion investment. They haven't seen $12 billion in upstate New York in a generation. So a lot of these things are changing. But let's say you go ahead and you do that. That doesn't mean that for the rest of your life, you are a welder or a chip.
Oh, no.
But what it could mean is that now do you open a welding business?
Yeah.
Right? And then you hire more welders and you can get out there. Or you hire more plumbers and you get out there. Right? So this is a great way to be in control of your own destiny. And it doesn't mean that you can't be curious and learn about the world and take liberal arts classes online or listen to the great courses. There's a lot of ways to get the types of education that you used to be able to get at college without any of the woke nonsense.
Totally. It's a path to entrepreneurship is what it is. The means by which you do that might be plumbing or HVAC or it might be welding.
I think that this is a point that we don't talk about enough, right? It's like we're telling people, you don't have to go to college. Mom and dad, immigrant who, like, mom and dad, I know you want your kid to go to college, but we're telling you, your son should be a plumber instead. Yeah. And they're like, what are you talking about? I came here so that my kid could, and it's like, no. I think that we're talking about this in the wrong way, which is, you want your son to succeed, so do we. Here's a great path, because everybody's going to need a plumber, but that means that you learn how to be a plumber, and then you also take these business classes at the same time. You live in America. You're an educated person. You were able to take a risk. We still have rule of law here for as long as that works. And then you can have a great entrepreneurial life where you are in control of your own destiny.
Yes.
And I think that's the piece that's missing, and I think I need to talk to Mike Rowe about that.
That's a great idea.
I've been thinking about that over the weekend.
There's means and ends. The trade might be a means, but the end actually is a flourishing entrepreneurial endeavor, which is inventive and innovative, draws people in. And actually, you have no idea where it leads. You might patent something that you sell to a company, and all of a sudden you're in a completely different category. You got to start someplace that works.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Okay, we have a quick pop quiz for you, but it's multiple choice.
Okay.
They're really hard, though, sometimes. And I don't read them beforehand. Which founding father and chief justice is responsible for this quote? The power to tax involves the power to destroy. Was it John Marshall, John Jay, or Oliver Ellsworth? And I'm embarrassed to say I've never heard of Oliver, but I'm sure he's a great guy.
I don't know Oliver, yeah. Between the two Johns, I'm going to say Jay.
It was John Marshall, and they say this, that the quote comes from Chief Justice Marshall's opinion of the landmark case McCulloch versus Maryland, in which the Supreme Court ruled that Congress has the ability to create a national bank that could not be taxed by individual states. Well, there you go.
There you go.
The more you know.
Both great Johns.
I stole that, but the more you know, don't sue me. I can't remember. Was that NBC?
Was it the ad council? There's a commercial with like a star,
I think it might be the ad council. Don't sue me. I'm giving it a compliment. Brian, thank you. And 1 p.m.
1 p.m., the big money show.
And also on Twitter, or X?
X, that's Brian Brenberg, yep.
He's a delight to follow. Yeah. That you can get some news and information, but also some delightful stories of Minnesota nice happening right here in New York City. Brian, thank you. And we will be back next week.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. In these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.